Oh, God, look at you people. Oh, this is a blessing. Hi, family. I'm a grateful and truly blessed recovering addict whose name and problem is Cheryl G. In coming to recovery, I met his mom, and she was my strong vine. She was my connection to everyone. She was my reason for staying, because she just said so. Her and someone in my home group who got me busy my first 30 days in recovery, even with the noise still in my head, they had me doing hostess, you know, this good stuff to munch on. Forgive me, I'm very nervous, so I'm going to forget proper words. I'll just probably say good stuff like I said. Anyway, but the confessions, all the good stuff, you know, the coffee, tea, cake, and all that sort of good stuff. And so I got to do that, and so, of course, that became my job. And once I got to do that and was doing it for a couple of weeks, I said, well, no, if I get there early, then nobody else will want to do the job because I'll do it so well. I wasn't working, and so I made sure I got there super early, 2 hours early, made sure the coffee, yeah, chairs and tables were wiped off, made sure the coffee, the cake, everything was set up, coffee was hot and ready for the ones that worked or went to school. They all they had to do was get a cup, or it was ice cold enough for the ones that wanted, you know, came in from work. All they had to do was grab it, and they could grab it right away. They didn't have to wait. That was my first experience of giving back. What I didn't even know was being freely given to me, because I couldn't hear yet still. There was too much noise in my head. In order to get to meetings, I had to wear the NA tapes on my head, you know, the little, what do you call it, cassettes, and put the other things on my head so that I could get out the door and get to the bus stop, get on the bus, I'm okay, then get off the bus, then have to walk again, because you couldn't tell me that somebody wasn't calling you and saying, I know you got the money, so we got some good stuff for you, so come on over here, yada, yada. So I kept them on my head, and so all I could hear was positive noise, because I couldn't hear anything else, and I was looking where I was going. So I got pretty well to all my meetings, and then I would get home and pass out by the end of the day, because I didn't stop doing meetings until the last one was over at about 8 o'clock at that time, when I first started, back in, 94. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, but I travel all over the place. And I love it here. I look forward to coming back some more. My beginning of my recovery was not easy, but getting into recovery was very easy, meaning that, okay, when I was first introduced or told to go by my dealer, and then by... Yes, Elsie wouldn't service me anymore. And then it was by my daughter. And then she got so pissed with me that she moved down south to, I don't know, somewhere in Mississippi, Virginia, or wherever. And she took the kids with her. And finally, because I went to outpatient centers, went to one detox, and then I went to a 30-day treatment. None of them worked for me. I did do the meeting right after the 30-day treatment, just like they said. I had somebody to pick me up. I went straight to a meeting. And I went to two more meetings after that. But then it was the weekend, and I said, okay, I did that. That's fine. Now, let me make a call and get me some stuff so I can chill out and relax, because I did what I was supposed to do all week long. Anyway, I did that. Kept alternating. I was able to stop for periods of time, 3, 4, 5 months, whatever. Went through that for about 18 months. And then I had my last run. It was the first time in my life I had ever stayed out for 3 days. Or more than a 12-hour period, for that matter, but I stayed out for 3 days. I left out to do my laundry and came back that Monday. That was on Saturday. Came back Monday. By the time Monday came around, it was starting to hit me that something was wrong, but I did not know how to stop it. I made a phone call. I got the answering machine. I cried and held on to the phone booth thing outside in the street and just held on to it. I don't know how long I stayed there, but I just stayed there and cried. And then finally I went back. I got my stuff, got angry with the person that I had stayed with because she stole my radio. And she said, no, you gave it to me. I said, B, if I ever see you again, make sure you watch your back because your butt is mine. I didn't say it that nicely, though, but that's the way it was intended. And I just took my stuff and I went home. I found a note from a person that I was seeing that came over for the weekend to spend time with me, which I never got back to. And when I read that, I just fell out on the floor and cried and cried and beat the floor. And I said, okay, my life is over. Let me go see if I can really end it. And I went around the corner to a dealer after I took a shower. And I stayed there till 11 o'clock that night. And after that, around that time, somewhere around 11, I can't say exactly 11, around 11, I took my last one. And, well, I didn't know it was my last one, but I took the last one. And I'm looking out the window, and finally he says, what's the matter? I said, oh, nothing, I think I've had enough. But in the meantime, I'm looking out the window, and it's like fire escape, and a bunch of you people are on the fire escape saying, we told you we would find you, now get out of there, stop it, stop it. And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay, it's time for me to go. I said, no, I'm just tired, so will you please have my escort ready to take me home now? And I started packing up my stuff, and I'm looking out the window all the time. I like, you know, okay, I'm coming, you all, so leave me. But there was no fire escape out there, because there was no place for a fire escape. It's a private house, and I was on street level. And so he took me home. I went home. I put everything away. I made phone calls to my sponsor. She said, call me when you're finished, and hung up the phone. I called some other people, and one came over to babysit me for the night. Two others said, we'll meet you at the meeting, and one of them said, we'll meet you downstairs in the morning to go to a meeting. Well, 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up after showering and, you know, making the calls and yada, yada, whatever, whatever. And I, you know, to do the usual latrine thing, and I remembered, oh, yes, I have some stuff left over. Babysitter's asleep. I can get rid of this. And so I said, I can use some of it anyway. I took it out, I went into the bathroom, and I said, okay, and I'm trying to open it up, and my hands automatically just go over the toilet, and everything is spilling out into the toilet. And I'm trying to stop, and it won't stop. And the next thing I know, the works is going out the window, and I'm like, okay, and then everything stopped. I washed my hands, and I found myself going back into my room to bed. And I said, okay, I can't mess with this one. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop and do what I wanted to do. That's it. That was the last time I used. That was September 20th, September 19th, 1994. So my clean date is September 20th, 1994. That's how I still had all that noise in my head, because it was still like, now it wasn't you all calling me, because I was with you all 24/7, and it was the dealers calling me, telling me too that we had stuff. So at the first meeting, somebody gave me another basic text, because I had gotten one about a year ago when I first went to the first meeting that I didn't hear anything, and I thought it was oh so cute. And I said, your stories are really fantastic. I mean, you all could really put Hitchcock out of business. And I got that. I got the text, the tape on text. Someone bought it for me, and I walked with them 24/7. And I made sure I made meetings every day, 7 days a week. From the first meeting was, I didn't get up before 11, before 10. So the first meeting was at 12 o'clock noon. The last meeting ended about 9 o'clock at night. And I did that for 90 days. I did the first 90 days. Then after the first 90 days, I did another 90 days. Before it fell down. Lost Dreams Awaken. Doing that for 6 months, I finally got my sponsor to help me with some step work. But at first you said it was too, well, it was too noisy in my head anyway, but, and I couldn't even hear, read, because my eyes were still all over the place. I got her to agree to do some step work with me. But she wanted to know why. She kept asking me the first two months when I asked her. She asked me why. I said, so that I can know what it is you're telling me that I need to learn, so that I can change and so I can grow. What are these principal things? I'm reading the book, but it's not making any sense. So I kept coming. We did the first three steps, and it was really good. It opened my eyes to a lot of different things. It helped me to get even more involved in some service so that I could learn how these worked along with the first three traditions. And this program, through this program, I should say, I've been able to get busy on some lost dreams. I had always wanted a college education. I had always expected I would have one, so I don't have it yet, but I'm in the process of it. I have about two more years left to go. Well, for the first degree that I want, anyway. And the dreams that I've had was of being able to give back to my family what they've always given to me, because I had no responsibilities as a coming up child. I did a couple of things that I wasn't supposed to do before this using thing, which happened in my 30s. Began in my 30s, I should say. That is where, that for me, I know is where my disease of addiction actually took off. And I didn't want to deal with any of the repercussions that I had to deal with of it, but I did. I had to, in the best way that I could. This program has helped me in a lot of other ways, too. It has helped me to understand that this program for me is for me to learn how to accept myself and accept things that I am powerless over, and accept things that are definitely out of my control, and to let them go, and to just focus on the things that I can take care of, and that's changing my attitudes and behaviors on the things that usually maybe would upset me or would make me feel even more less than or squash my self-esteem that I may have finally gotten a little bit of. And just for today, I don't have to go there. I don't have to feel bad because everybody's deciding to get up and they go smoking or whatever while I'm in the middle of saying something. I don't have to feel bad because I am very nervous and I don't really know if I'm giving a clear message. But I know I'm giving a clear message because, number one, I'm standing up here in front of you and I'm saying what I'm feeling, how I'm feeling, and I'm letting you know that this program does work. Number two, for anyone newer than myself, if you take the time to sit and listen, you will learn the things that we need to learn so that we can grow and get better and get over the crutch of the obsession and compulsion of doing things, because it's our attitudes and behaviors that got us here. Maybe the drug got us here, but it's our attitudes and behaviors that keep us here. It's our attitudes and behaviors that got us to use the drugs that got us here. It's our attitudes and behaviors, and especially the ones that we don't change, that keep us coming back, going out, coming back, or maybe you stay, but keep on fucking up your own life. And then you're going to turn around and point your finger at somebody else and say, well, why did you do that to me? I can talk about that because I did that. But I know for today, and I learned early on, that it wasn't you doing jack to me. It was you all that was helping me to stay here because you told me, sit up front, get here early, and listen. And if you don't know how to listen, sit there until you learn how to listen. and hear what is being said and apply it to your life. If you don't apply it, it ain't going to work for you, but it'll work for somebody that's around you. It'll definitely work for me. That is the message that I am giving, because I'm using it. Lost Dreams. Back to Lost Dreams again. I'm going to try it again. Lost Dreams. Have a nice evening, lady. Lost Dreams. Or something that I had, and I know a lot of us had. And I'm working on some of mine now, but before I could even do that, I had to let go of trying to control my daughter. I only have one child. I had to let go of trying to control her family. I had to let go of trying to control my financial situation that I allowed to get out of hand when I was helping others, and I'll just leave it at that, and left nothing for myself. I had to let go of helping everybody else, and then when it came to me, I had nothing left. And in me not having anything left, I didn't know how to ask you for help. That's a horrible feeling once you, me. That's a horrible feeling once I realized what I had done, because I didn't know how to correct it. And then at first, because my sponsor got so busy with whatever it was she was going through, she didn't have time, but that was what helped me strengthen my network and really use my network. And then it helped me to realize that my network has so much more time and they and experience, because they've been here in the fellowship for so long. They're the ones that had got me involved in the service, and it was through the service and through them that I was able to learn how to deal with, cope with situations, cope with uncomfortable feelings, cope with not understanding something and knowing that the only dumb question is the one I don't ask. All this water, nobody poured a bucket over my head. I'm just in menopause, so don't give it a thought. I'm learning how to accept people and things at face value, instead of trying to, or in my upside down thinking head, that thinking that they are really what I want them to be, and it's just that something's just not quite correct yet, or it's just not ready. Something that doesn't make any sense, whatever it is, it's the upside down thinking at work. And if I stop, take a couple of deep breaths, take a serenity prayer, I'm able to get a grip on whatever the situation is. And if I can't come to some kind of positive situation, solution, I've learned, and I'm learning, and I'm practicing how to reach out to anybody that I see may be able to help me with the situation to get the answers I need. I don't like not knowing, and so I dive into books. Yes, I'm on the computer a lot. I do a lot of research on the computer. I go to school. I do the research and the homework. Once I finish with that, I'm doing some more research for things that I have questions about, that I see people are going through, or I am going through. Finally, I am going through. But mostly that other people are going through. And I tend to still feel, I know I have to take care of myself, because if I don't take care of myself, I can't help anyone else. But I also, no, not but, however, I have learned that in researching and finding out answers to situations that my peers or people that I just meet or that I, people I know and love are going through, I am helping myself, because if I don't need it right now for me, at least I'll be able to give the information to them, thank you, darling, to them, so that they can help themselves, and for me not to do it for them. Because that was something else, that was another big fault of mine. I would find out information or know what I do to do because I've learned it from whatever other experiences or school or whatever, and I would turn around and do it for you. And then I found that I was ended up being used as a crutch. And finally, being able to see that I was just a crutch, I was able to pray and back up and say, remember what we did the last time it happened? Remember the steps that we took? Remember the structure that we set up? And if you say no, I'll write it down, and I say, call me if you have a problem, but don't look for me. And it works. It truly works. With a couple of people that I've done it with, it's working quite well. I was surprised, to be perfectly honest, because one in particular, my daughter, is a whiny lady in her, never mind how old she is. but she still was a whiny baby. But I've been noticing for the past month, she has been able to take into her own hands her own personal responsibility, taking care of her health, taking care of her house, and not just whining and waiting for mommy to come. Well, you always do it when you come over anyway. Oh, mommy will get it done. Oh, mommy will call the doctor. Mommy will take care of this. I haven't done anything for any of them over there at her house in a month. I just have her to call me, let me know what the problem is. I'll tell you, give you a suggestion. And I make sure she understands I'm only giving you a suggestion. It's up to you whether you do it or not. And I'm finding that it's working out much better for me as well as for her, because she's taking better care of herself, taking more responsibility for her own. Which is giving me some time to, finally I was able to get here, get somewhere. For me. I've gotten so much from everything, from what I've heard share at these meetings today. And well, I wouldn't hear anything last night because I got here too late, but today has been awesome. And just talking with people, it's been wonderful. And getting all the hugs and feeling the love and being able to give back love so freely. That's the lost dream awakened. To be able to love and not be expecting anything in return or expected to give anything in return. Being able to participate and do things and be a part of without having to growl, beg, steal, lie, or whatever, just because you are who you are and because that's the way we are set up. With this program, I was holding all this so that I could have something to do with my hands. I was stabbing myself every time I tried to make a fist, so I said, let me put something in my hands so I have something to hold. This program is teaching me how to use these principles, surrender, serenity, honesty, open-mindedness, acceptance, that's the biggest one, of people, places, things, life situations, for what they are. And it's my attitude, my response, not reaction. I am not to react, I am to respond. I am to stop and think about what my response is to be. And if I'm not sure, ask a question. How did you handle this? How would you handle this? What is your opinion about this? What does it say in the textbook about how they handled this? That textbook of ours, it gives me so many answers. It gives me so many solutions. It gives me so many ideas as to how to find a solution. It gives me so many ways of thinking, analyzing things, but not rationalizing and justifying anything. I don't know what I would do without that textbook, and I am so grateful for this program. I wish, even though I wasn't using a drug, I wish I had known about this program when I was 16 years old. 17, 18 even. I wish I had known about this program then. I would have joined if I had half a brain. If I had half a brain. Because I needed it then. I needed everything I'm learning now, then. I sometimes get angry, which leads me to depression, because I didn't get to learn all this stuff I'm learning now, then, or in my early 20s. Why do I have to wait till I get this age, whatever it is, to learn this stuff so that how much more time do I have to practice it all and share it with everybody else? There's so many people that I need to come and need to help. So many people I need to help. It's not all about me. And it's a we thing, but I have a part to play too. And I want to play my part, but I got to learn it first. So why did I have to wait so long to learn it? How much time do I have left to do my part? Those are my questions that I ask me. Ask my God. And so it makes me work hard, real, real hard. No, I'm not the best speaker in the world. I'm a doer. I'm not one that needs to be out in the spotlight to be seen, because I know the work I do is seen, is felt, is lived, giving somebody some hope. Lost dreams awaken. I know most of us have had dreams when we were younger, before we started using, if we didn't start using when we were 2, 3, or 5, or whatever. Had some dreams of something that we wanted to do or be. And because we're in this program, if we practice this program, live this program in all areas of our lives, lost dreams are awakened. Wanted to be a great secretary, wanted to be a doctor, wanted to be an Indian chief, wanted to be a cab driver, whatever. Wanted to be a great mom and dad. Real mom and dad. Not in name. That means nothing. I wanted to be like my mom and dad because they gave me a great life. I was the one that backed up from it. I was the one that got wanted to try this, try that. Nosy. One time didn't listen and it screwed up my whole life. Now I'm getting it back on track because I practice these principles in all my affairs. I practice these principles in all areas of my life, to the best of my ability. And when I feel myself going off, I stop. People look at me like I'm crazy and I really don't give two chicks. I stop. I take 3 deep breaths. And I may even take the time to say the serenity prayer before I proceed so that I can know at least I've invited him into my process. And I'm not here alone. I know when I'm in a meeting. I know when I'm on one of the committees. I know I'm not alone. And I know as long as I invite my higher power into the process of whatever it is I'm doing for today, for the moment, I'm okay. One way or the other, I'm okay. May not be the way I want it to be, but I am okay. Our dreams will come true if they're still the dreams that we want to have happen to us in our lives. Whatever dreams that we do have, at this point in time of our lives that we are recovering, that we are learning to be a part of the society such as it is. Be humans living on what do you call it? Living on life's terms. Accepting and living life on life's terms. Whatever dreams we have at this point in time, we can make them come true. I can't do jack by myself. I need each and every one of you at some given point in time, and I never know when it'll be or which one of you it'll be at any given time. And I don't care which one of you it is. I'm here for you. It's like I tend to believe, I believe you're here for me. I have no problem helping someone else realize their dreams, but I will also, and I have a strong thing, belief in my, finally, in my own making and meeting my dreams. Stopping back for a second, I had so little self-esteem when I first came in here. I didn't think I was allowed to make decisions. I didn't think I was allowed to have dreams, hopes. I didn't know what they were. I had a hope. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I had a dream. I have no idea. I just don't want to use any of that stuff anymore. I just don't want to see you all out there on the fire escape. You see that tree? That was a fire escape. Okay? That was a fire escape. And you all were sitting there, standing there, waving your fingers at me, but smiling, but saying, we told you we would find you. Yeah, well, you found me, you got me, and I'm here. And I'm letting you know that this program works. Newcomer, welcome. Please stay. I need you more than ever so that you can help us all to remember. It's not working out there. We don't want to go back. Old timer, older than me, 33 years, please keep coming. You kept the doors open before. Help us to continue to keep the doors open and teach us some of the stuff that you learned that got you to stay here. There's more than one way of doing things. There's so many different ways of doing things. As many different ways as there are people in this room. And as long as we apply these principles, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, patience, tolerance, faith, integrity, and the list goes on, as long as we apply them as they apply to whatever it is we're doing, in all parts of our life, we stand a chance at fulfilling our dreams. Of our hopes coming true. Nothing's going to be good all the time. We're going to lose loved ones, either through divorce or through death, through kids growing up and going on wherever they're going. But we ourselves just moving on. But we just have to remember in being a member of the society, a member of this life on life's terms. We don't have to follow all the ugly negatives of this society, but we do have to accept life on life's terms and follow the rules and regulations that are set for us. As long as we learn what the rules and regulations are, we know how to break them, or we know how they are being broken. As long as we do our part, we don't worry or concern ourselves about the other person's part, because that's not what we're here for. We each have a part. We each have a part to play. We do not each play each other's part. It doesn't work that way. I learned that. I made myself sick with learning that. But we don't have to go there. We show up for our meetings. We make as many meetings as we can in any given week or month or period of time, and that's our maintenance for us, for the old timers or the people who go to school and go to work, but you can't stop meetings. Our recovery comes first. My recovery comes first. My God comes first, my recovery comes next, I'm after that, everybody else can take a number. Because if I don't do it that way, I'm lost. And I don't want to be lost. Don't like that feeling. Don't care to go there again. I hope you, some of you who stayed, got a little bit of something from what I have shared with you. I didn't share a lot of my story, but I shared my beginning and my end, which is the main part. And I shared where I'm at now, which is living and let live, showing and sharing with others how it works for me by living these principles a day at a time, a moment at a time, a breath at a time. How I'm learning to let go. How we do it as a unit, but we can only work on ourselves. We cannot, you cannot change me and I cannot change you. You know what I mean? Got the fingers kind of mixed up. But we can work with each other to help each other to make the changes we need to make to have a better life. So we continue to make meetings, sit up front. If you get here early, you can sit up front. The later you get here, the further back you have to sit. But if you sit further in the back, just tell the ones in the back to be quiet because you want to hear the message of hope. Participate. Help set up the refreshments. Help set up the banners and so on. Help take them down, get here early, talk with the people, the newcomers that might come in that might need a hug. Just stay late, talk with some more, chat while we take things down. Get some phone numbers, call each other. Stay connected. If we don't stay connected, we can tend to fall by the wayside a little bit. It may not feel it right away, but the longer you stay disconnected and you start going back, you start hearing less. See, you can't hardly hear it. And that's what happens. That's what happens. We don't want to lose our connections. We don't want to start falling apart. Just when we start getting our feet firmly planted and we can see that we're making some progress. Yeah, we. Work together so that you and me can live. Use your texts, your tools. They're so very valuable. Your textbook, How and Why, the How and Why step book, your dictionary, your thesaurus, a notebook. And if you, I can't say that other word because it's not part of the thing, but all of those things are our tools. The phone numbers. The phone. The computer. But you talk to people. Ask questions. Give information. Share what you know. And ask questions about what we don't know. This is a great program. It'll work whether you work it or not. I choose to work it. I choose to live it. Like I said, I don't speak about it very well. You just watch the way I live. That's the best thing I can tell you. I'm an addict learning to recover. My name is Cheryl.